Hey, what's new with the Star Child Project? What's going on?
Well, we've had some real breakthroughs in the genetic testing that we have contracted to have done fairly recently. Now it's a couple of months old. The testing has been going on that long, but it's very long, very tedious, and very detailed. And in the case of the Star Child skull, very much more difficult than normal testing of human-type bone for a number of reasons, the main one being that the bone itself is extremely unusual relative to what normal bone is. As you said, it's half as thin and twice as hard, twice as durable, mm-hmm. twice as dense. So it's given the geneticists who have been working on it some difficulties because of that oddness of it. They, as they were telling me most recently when we talked a few days ago, they said they used all the normal protocols on the testing that they've done up to this point. They don't know anything else to do. They had to treat it like they would treat human bone. It is even though it looked different, it felt different, it cut differently, everything about it looked different, they used the normal protocols on it because they didn't really know what else to do. So the normal protocols, as it turns out, on the size of the sample that they used, it just wasn't enough. They just simply didn't use enough of the bone in the first two runs that they've used, that they've done on it. The first run, unfortunately, there was some contamination. Always a possibility in this field.
Yes,
always.
There is.
It, because the work is so exact and has to be so precise, if anybody working on the material gets a flake of skin or a droplet of their breath, of moisture of their breath, anything that can put a piece of their DNA or some other kind of way that you get some contamination, it can happen. That's why this stuff is so expensive to do. They have to be so careful. So in the first test run, the answer came back that the Star Child's mother was a European. So that didn't make sense because it was found in Mesoamerica, mm-hmm. in central, Mexico.
Unless there's a little migration here.
Huh? Yeah, they felt that they had a contamination problem, and they asked to be allowed to do a second run, and of course I authorized that. And then they did that one, and they got the answer that they were looking for, which was a native Mesoamerican. What was interesting about it, though, is that the female human that was found with it, and everybody, if they don't know what the story is, the Star Child skull was found with a human in association with it. They were buried together. It looks very much like the Star Child died first and the human female buried it and then simply laid down and mm-hmm. either, committed suicide, really, and laid down beside the body on top of the ground mm-hmm. where she had buried that body, the Star Child body, in the ground. So you have two skeletons found in association and two skulls recovered from that burial in a mine tunnel. So with that being the case, we early on made the assumption, the natural assumption, that they might be mother-child because we thought the Star Child initially was a child, which is why we call it that. We subsequently found out sometime later, after more careful, detailed analysis, that the Star Child looked to be much more like an adult than a child, but we just continued to call it the Star Child. Now we know for sure that human being was indeed a native Mesoamerican female, but she was of what's called haplogroup A.
And what does that mean?
That means there are different groups of Native American types. In the same way that they say all of us can be traced back, our mitochondrial DNA can be traced back to seven groups of females at some point in the distant past.
Okay.
The seven Eves theory, it's called. Well, you have haplogroups for Central America where it's sort of the same thing. They've got a few groups, A, B, C, D, like that. So she was of the group A. When they got the Star Child's mitochondrial DNA, and understand, mitochondrial DNA comes from the mother, only from females. So it's only from the mother. It isn't saying anything about the Star Child's father's DNA, just the mother, and the mother was haplogroup C. So what that means is the female found in conjunction with the star child cannot possibly be its mother. It's not genetically related to it at all.
Now that's surprising, isn't it? Because they're together.
Exactly. We had made the assumption early on, as I said, that probably she was a mother, if indeed it was a child. Later, when we found it was an adult, then our mind, you know, we opened up to the idea that they were not genetically related and that she could be a caretaker, she could be a wife, she could be a lover, she could be somebody closely aligned to the star child, whatever he or it was, simply because she was willing to lay down her life when he died.
Well, we're going to have to start calling it the star person, I guess, Lloyd, huh?
Well, the geneticists are hopeful that in the next run that they're going to do, and this will be the last one that they can do at this time, given the technology that they have. And what everybody needs to understand is that this is a growing field. This field really burst on the scene only in 1997 when Svante Paabo recovered the first mitochondrial DNA from a Neanderthal fossil. Understand, a fossil. An amazing achievement, and now they're doing it for bones many thousands of years old. That was 30,000 years old, and now they're going, you know, further back in the past all the time. So the geneticists have told me that even if they can't recover nuclear DNA now, which is what we need to look at is the DNA that comes from the nucleus of the cells, nuclear DNA. And if we can do that, we can look at both the mother and the father. And if the star child is indeed a hybrid of an alien and a human, we've always made the assumption that it would be a human mother and an alien father, simply because that is what the legends of the Mesoamericans say consistently up and down the Americas from Tierra del Fuego all the way to Alaska. The myths and the legends that come down are always they impregnate a human female with one of these hybrid offspring.
Or maybe no father at all, Lloyd. Maybe some kind of clone procedure.
Well, you know, that's always a possibility, and we're really not going to know that unless they can recover the nuclear DNA, unless the geneticists can recover it. Now, their plan is this, George. What they're going to do is take a bigger piece of bone. They're so used to working with standard sizes and doing what they call the normal protocols that they just did it because, again, they didn't really know how else to handle this except to start out doing what they knew how to do. Now that they've gone through two cycles with it and they've seen where they've made mistakes, where things have gone wrong, where things have not worked according to the protocols because of the consistency of this unusual bone, they're scrapping the normal protocols. They're going to use a much bigger sample of the bone, and they're going to start over from scratch, and they're going to use all the best of what they've done out of the first two runs, eliminate the things they've done that haven't worked, and they're going to take a very hard, strong shot at recovering both mitochondrial to verify what the second test was and nuclear DNA. So we're going to have that answer in around the middle of July or a little before then. Now, I'm going to be speaking at L.A. MUFON on the 15th and Orange County MUFON on the 16th of July. So I'll be out there, and I'll be speaking for anybody who wants to make it to those meetings, and I will be talking about what those results are at that time, and that will probably be the first public time I'm able to, you know, talk about it openly. So it'll should be an interesting period for it to come through, and it, you know, the timing is just totally coincidental, but that's when they think they'll have an answer in the second week in July.